Well, good morning, everybody. We had the joy on Friday of having first reconciliation with the second graders at the school, and it's always such a joy of being a priest to hear such beautiful, pure hearts bring their sins to God and in that sacrament for the first time. It was kind of beautiful because we did it right after the school mass, and the first reading just happened to be on Friday about Joseph, who got the coat of many colors from his father Jacob, because Joseph was the favorite, so to speak, and so he gets wrapped in this coat of many colors, and I was telling the kiddos that, like, you know, you're going to get wrapped in something even more important, and that is the mercy of God, you know. And because we're all God's favorite, God doesn't actually have favorites, but he does, because each and every one of us is his favorite, you get wrapped in this mercy of the Lord, which is just so beautiful. And then yesterday, at the morning mass, the gospel was about the prodigal son. And when the prodigal son comes back, the father runs out to meet him and wraps him in a robe of mercy. And that's what happens when we go to confession in a beautiful way, is that we get wrapped in the mercy of our Lord, the divine mercy, which is so beautiful. And I was kind of thinking about confession with our first reading because of the Ten Commandments. Most of us, our engagement with the Ten Commandments is an examination of conscience, you know, that we do before we go to confession. Which is a good thing, by the way, for us to do. This is not a homily on confession, but just kind of thinking about how this helps us. These Ten Commandments always help us to make a little examination of conscience so that we can be wrapped in the mercy of our Lord. But what I want to, like, think about a little bit in our time here is the context of the Ten Commandments. Because I think we often forget. We think that God is just like this big guy in heaven who just one day plopped down 10 rules. But what's kind of neat is to look at the context of these commandments. By the way, the commandments are in the second person singular, which means that one way to read them is, you, Barbara, should have no other gods beside you. Sally should not say the Lord's name in vain. You, Father Mike, should not steal. All these things, and just to, like, that we can plug our own name in each one of them, because they're directed at each person. It's not like, all y'all, you better do that, you know, like, but it's you. Because this covenant relationship between God and each one of us, not humanity in general, but, like, you and me and each person, that it's a second person singular, these commandments. And that they were given to the people individually, but also as a family, while while the Israelites are on their way to the promised land. And so the first commandment, you know, when you ask somebody what's the first commandment, they'll probably get at least half of it right. And they say, well, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods besides me. That's 50% accurate. But with the what gets left out is the middle part. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall have no other gods but me. That God has rescued us from slavery and has brought us and is bringing us into freedom. And that God is not the opposite or the enemy of freedom. A lot of people think that these days. Even a lot of Christians think that God is the enemy of freedom. He came to be, what a buzzkill, you know? But no, like, God is actually telling us that, hey, if you do these Ten Commandments, you individually do your part in doing these Ten Commandments, everything's going to be infinitely better. Not just for you, but for everyone involved. That there is a freedom in following the commandments, in being faithful to the commandments. There is a happiness that comes from them. Because remember, the Israelites were not just like hanging out at the Nile in Egypt having a great old party. They were in slavery. They were in slavery for hundreds of years. The Pharaoh was horrible to them. And they had to make bricks, and then they had to use straw, and then Pharaoh said, they're not working hard enough. I'm going to make them work harder. They have to make the same number of bricks, but now they're going to have to go out and get their own straw. But I'm not going to let anything... The quota is the same. And this thing was horrible for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then God rescues them. He saves them. He fights for them. He liberates them. And from that place of slavery, and he says, I got a promised land for you. And so it's in the midst of this journey out of this place of liberation and slavery where God is liberated. He says, hey, here's 10 things. Here's 10 things that if you do them, it'll guarantee that you don't go back to slavery. Because if you don't do these 10 things, you're going back to slavery. In some way, shape, or form. And I think it's an interesting question for us to think about. Like, what are the Egypts in my life? What are those places where I'm enslaved to something? It could be a lot of things. But where are the Egypts of my life? Where are the places of slavery? And then to let God liberate us there. Through the person of Jesus Christ, who is alive in the sacraments. I remember one year, I can't remember who it was, but it was after first confession. I think it was here, and one of the kids' sister would remember. But one of the kids came out and said, I'm free! Right after confession. That's what we're talking about here, is that when we are embraced in the mercy of the Lord, we're free, and that we're liberated. We're liberated so that we don't have to live a life of slavery. The Ten Commandments are not rules that reduce our freedom. They are gifts. The 10 gifts that actually enable our freedom. Not just on earth, but eternally in heaven. I am the Lord your God. In commandment number one, who rescued you from Egypt, that place of slavery. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. Let's pray to be faithful to that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.